You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, it is a new year, which means we are trying new things. And part of those new things that we're going to be trying out is this next segment. We're going to be looking at introducing a little more of a tech conversation, perhaps expanding into a little more than just technology. We might look at other things as well. We have got a couple of tech commentators that you've heard us speak to in the past, the likes of Mudiwa Kavaza that I enjoy speaking to ever so much. But there is another tech specialist and tech journalist that I've been keeping under wraps for the longest time. I think it's finally time the world meets her, all courtesy to my wonderful producer. Her name is Nafisa Akabor. She's going to be joining us for a tech feature that we're going to do on the show quite regularly. We're going to try and look at tech news, what's happening in the tech space, how we get around understanding all of these dynamics. And I thought with all of the events happening around the TikTok conversation, this would be a good time to start. So she joins me on the line now to take a look at what's been happening with the TikTok ban in the US. Is it on? Is it not? Who's paying? Who's not paying? What's happening? And everything else in between. Good evening, Nafisa. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the ban, right? So it was there. President Joe Biden said there'd be a ban. Then he said, no, I'm leaving office. It's not my responsibility. The next president can handle it. Then TikTok said, okay, we're going to have to shut down the servers. Then they said, we're not shutting down the servers. Now, 24 hours later, there was a ban that wasn't really a ban, but now Americans have TikTok. What happened here?
So hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. So actually, if we go back a little further, it was actually President Trump who initiated the TikTok ban. And now he's going to be the so-called savior to sort of unban it. It's actually so, it makes the US look quite foolish, I'm sure you admit. It was less than 24 hours of a ban.
Yeah, so my understanding around that was as well that obviously with what President Biden had signed in, that there was probably some legislative part of it from a legal standpoint that would have forced TikTok to shut down servers and all of that. So technically abiding by those conditions. But Trump came out before being inaugurated saying he was going to save TikTok and he was going to put an end to this and make sure that TikTok can continue. And now we had a whole bunch of people that used the service seemingly left in limbo for a couple of hours. At this point, he still hasn't been inaugurated, or the inauguration takes place today. But where do we stand on the TikTok business in the US? I mean, it's about north of 150 million plus users in the US, almost a little more than around half the population of the US. So where do we stand on whether or not US citizens are using the TikTok platform?
Well, they definitely use it given the outcry that we've seen. I'm a TikTok user myself. I've seen a lot of people putting these sad farewell posts saying that they lost their job in lockdown, because you might remember that it really kicked off in the pandemic. TikTok really took off then. So a lot of people started their spin-off businesses or when they lost jobs. So this obviously means a lot to a lot of creators in the US, given what a large market they are. But what I'm also curious about is when Trump said that he's going to save it, he mentioned that he'd like the US to have a 50% ownership position in a joint venture. Now, we know TikTok's stance throughout. They weren't willing to sell to a different owner, which I commend them for. So I'm just curious now. Yes, they're allowing it. They're giving them like a 90-day extension. But I wonder how this conversation is going to go, because I don't see TikTok selling to 50% to a company in the US. I'm not sure whether you've seen that, or it doesn't seem like it fits with what they've been saying all along.
Yeah, so that's the other bizarre side of it, right? Is you want them to stay on and continue offering services, but you also want it to be on your terms, and those terms might not be favorable to a company like a TikTok. From a TikTok perspective, do you think there is merit in them saying, okay, we agree to the deal? Because effectively, you're now losing half of your revenue or half of your ownership, but you are still keeping quite a big market, and you're still able to sort of still access that market. On access, I want to get into another chat as well around what Americans have been doing. But do you think for now that it's in TikTok's interests to even consider this deal?
I don't think they should sell. They have nothing to be guilty of, especially not what they're being accused of. There's no proof that the Chinese government has access to American users' data. So for that reason, I commend them. They shouldn't do it. But it will be interesting to see how it plays off, because we know the TikTok CEO, Shou Chou, is actually attending the inauguration of Trump.
And that, we know, is only attended by invitation. So that would have had to have been an invitation extended to him to attend that inauguration. I don't think it's something that is open to the public to a certain extent, depending
Agreed.
On where you are. Yeah. Nafisa, I want to look at what Americans have done in the interim. I want to look at a little known company, Xiaohongshu. That's its government name. Its more recognized street name is Red Note. Americans just decided, okay, fine, if you think that we're selling our data to the Chinese, we're going to sign up for a Chinese-based company. That was a very deliberate response, I think, from the American users to make a statement to their own government to say, we don't agree with what you're trying to enforce.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the funniest things I've seen this year. I know we're very early into 2025, but there was a term, TikTok refugee, being thrown around. I was actually so amused by it. These users, I actually downloaded Red Note. I just held my username and I deleted the app. But the short while I was there, I could see people saying, we don't care. We want the Chinese government can take our data. This is what Americans were saying. And they weren't even joking. They're like, we're not going to use, like, for example, Meta platforms, Meta-owned ones. That's how much they were rebelling against what was happening, that they were just willing to find a new home, so to speak.
Mm. And that's the other thing, right, was the Meta side of it. Meta came out and thought this would be a great opportunity for us to take advantage of this and to come out and offer the exact same TikTok kind of features and replicate those features. And users just came out and said, no, we're not interested. You might be a US-owned company. You might be what we knew as Facebook and stuff, but that's not what we want. We want to keep TikTok. That was a very, very interesting message as well from the users of the platform, particularly in the US, that they abandoned a US company and said we'd rather still go with a Chinese company.
I was very surprised by that. I was shocked. Like, you would think, oh, naturally, let's go back to Instagram where we all started. It already has similar videos. But sure, they had such strong opinions about it.
Mm.
And also for Instagram to release such similar features the day before the ban.
Reminds me of a time that Meta did, what did they do after the takeover of X? They released Threads and said, well, it's not Twitter. It's similar. It's the same thing. And I guess you got the same reaction as well, is now you've gone from almost being seen as a leader in the social media space to someone that's just replicating what other people are doing. Nafisa, before I let you go, I want to look at the monetization aspect of it all. I mean, a lot of the TikTok and content creators said that they derive a living from this. People are able to sell things in the TikTok shop. Others are able to generate subscriptions from their follows and all of those sorts of things. Clearly, the world of social media has transitioned from just being, we're sharing our lives, we're sharing the social things that are happening, to saying we are actually using some of these platforms to earn a living.
Yeah, and also the two you mentioned, there is another aspect of the sponsored content, obviously. I'm sure you know that's such a big deal. The creator economy is growing. We even know that print advertising is in decline. So it is a big deal, and this is how people make money. So it's, I completely understand why the users felt this way, but it shouldn't be ignored. It's just going to grow the creator economy. And platforms like TikTok is obviously going to be behind it.
What's next for that creator economy? Because understanding that from a tech perspective, things like artificial intelligence are advancing at a rapid rate. And I mean, we use them for different things. I, for one, use artificial intelligence to help with some of the video content that we create as well, outside of the radio space as well. So it's clearly something that's not going to slow down. Where do you see the kind of the next evolution of where the tech economy goes and where creators generate their livings from?
I think we're going to see more AI generated profiles and them creating the sponsored content. So as weird as it sounds, these AI could be taking jobs from the creators. Does that make sense? Because a brand can say, hey, let's create my own AI person and let them create the message that we want and let us push it. So technically, they're not even paying an actual creator. Do you follow? It's going to be, someone you can create on one of these generative AI apps.
One of the things that you and I are going to look into, Nafisa, in one of our many sessions to come is going to be, I want to look at this whole fund setup where creators are rewarded, but some platforms don't offer creator funds or rewards in certain countries and those sorts of restrictions. But that'll have to be a conversation for another day because we have run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely having you on the show. I think this is going to be the first of many great conversations around the tech, EV and evolutionary space that we all find ourselves in the modern era. That was Nafisa Akbor, who's a tech and EV journalist, but also the founder of Recharged, joining us to take a look at our new feature that we're having on the show, our tech feature.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.